All right, let's talk about, we're going to talk about growth is about emptying oneself. I want to make a clarity that even though we're talking about numerical growth, there's a correct correlation on how these things function together. And it's just awesome to be here. So, I was once talking with my brothers about my dad. And our eldest brother, from how he talked about my dad was very strict according to him. Now, as we talked about the story of my dad and who he was, my sister had a very different story about my dad. He was a very loving and caring person. For me, I was left to my devices. That was my experience of my dad. And then I asked myself, is this the same person we're talking about? Because at some point, he's a very harsh person. At another point, he's very loving. Another point, almost just walk at it. What I didn't realize, though, or what I realized later on was this, is that my dad had been changing over a period of time as he raised the 12 of us. Now I was number 7, but he had been changing. And when you raise people like that, you're changing. But to me, he was emptying himself out. He became different over a period of time. Amen? I say that to say that your walk with God, you may have come in and thought that God is this very strict, ready to attack you, God, and that's how you've operated for a while. And then you talk to other disciples who feel like God is very loving, and you feel like, I don't experience God like that. You understand that? And you wonder, is this the same God? Yes, it's the same God as how you're experiencing Him. And then others feel like, I am so free with God. And you wonder, is this the same God? It is at the point at which you are in terms of emptying yourself out. If you're not emptying yourself and God is filling you, it is very difficult to experience the true God, who is not made up in your mind, in your experience, but who He is. Does that make sense? So, in Philippians 3:10-11 says, I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of His resurrection and participation in His suffering, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow attain the resurrection from the dead. Growth is about emptying oneself. If you think about it, you came, you may have prayed that, God, I want to find you. Then someone met you and said, hey, I can tell you a little bit about God. And then you committed to God. And when you committed to God, you had some growth spats. You were having a great time. But you come to a space where you're not necessarily growing. But neither are you disagreeing with God. But you're not emptying yourself. In other words, the first space, you're really changing a lot of things. You're emptying yourself. You're letting go of a lot of stuff. But you come to a space of, you stop emptying and you just experience God from a place of, this is who He is and you're not changing anything. And so that growth stops to happen for you. And we go through this space of experiencing God one way, coming to a level of not going anywhere, because at some point we think we can do it for ourselves. And we cannot do it for ourselves. So I want you to know Christ. Yes, I want to know the power of His resurrection. That to know Christ is not just to be aware of what He says, the theology of it, and we'll come to that in a moment. Maybe let me explain what I mean by what I'm going at here. Let's see. Where are we going? Is this thing on? Okay. There we go. Emptying yourself is about letting God fill you. You empty yourself of your anger, God fills you with peace. You empty yourself of your resentment, God gives you back love. So there are many things that are holding you out there that you've had over a period of life that are coming into your life, and some of them come in seasons. And as they come in seasons, what's important is that you empty yourself of that stuff and God fills you with His Word. But you will not empty yourself simply by saying, I've stopped doing it. You get filled by the Word of God. So here's the issue. Is it possible that you've not been filling yourself with the Word of God. So it's not possible for you to keep growing. So you've actually stopped growing, not because God does not exist, but because you've stopped emptying yourself or stopped filling yourself with the Word of God. Sometimes you're very good at emptying. I'm not doing that. But are you getting filled? And if these two processes don't take place, you're not going to do well spiritually. You're going to feel that Christianity is a difficult work to do. Yet God says, empty yourself. Let go of stuff, but let me fill you with the Word of God. So here's where we need to get it right. As Paul says back here, I want to know Christ. What do you want to know? Do you want to know Christ? Not will Christ take this away from me? No, I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his suffering. What about that? When suffering comes, how are you handling that? Do you run? Do you shut down? Do you just cope? He says, I want to know that suffering. Become like him in death. We got to die to certain things so that God may use us. And then it says, and so somehow attain to the resurrection from the dead. This is what Paul says. I totally believe that unless you get used to the work of emptying yourself and being filled by the Word of God, you will not experience growth. And for some of us, we're really stuck. Just stuck, defeated, no hope. Why? Because we've stopped to empty ourselves and allow the Word of God to fill us. Let's talk about that a little bit further. Great theology is not the end of knowing Jesus. Let me explain that. Many people will come and say, okay, what? Essentially, when you're not in Christ, you maybe believe in God or don't believe in God at all. But then you hear the Bible, and some people say the Bible is a hard thing to read. It's not. It's very easy to read if you have guidance. Does that make sense? And so you have Scripture. Scripture is the 66 books we have. And then when you start getting to understand how that works, that's the theology of how do I repent, and then you develop convictions from what you're reading. So you cannot develop conviction by just hearing. You've got to hear, believe, obey. The convictions come from that. So what happens if you simply hear the Word of God but don't believe? Is there any convictions there? Is there any growth there? Nothing happens. What happens if you hear, believe, but do not practice? What happens? John 8 explains that to the Jews who hold him, 31 to 38. To the Jews who believed in him, he said, if you come, I'm just paraphrasing it. If you hold to my teachings, then you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How is it that you know God, you believe in God, but you don't practice? That is what's holding you back. That's like saying, I went to the doctor, and he gave me this tablet that if I took it, I'll get well. But I don't take the tablet. I believe it will help me, but I will never take the tablet. Why do we do that? Well, he said you should take it twice a day. I take it whenever I feel like. He should say, I should take it 3 times a day. I take it whenever I feel like it's possible. That is the problem that's holding back a congregational growth and even a spiritual growth personally. That happens, why? Because we think I have the right theology. Just having the right theology does not transform you. Too many people have repented, got baptized for forgiveness of sins, but will not grow and have an impact to another person. Why? Because they are not growing. They stalled on that platform. You see, many of us think that growth is just numerical. No, it's also spiritual. And a lot of us, what we've done well, we've gotten the scriptures, but we've lost some convictions about what the Bible says. In other words, we believe, but we don't practice. We believe, but we don't practice. So when we believe and we don't practice, we become more important than the Word of God. We do what we feel like is important for us, not what the Word of God says. We are more submitting to emotion, less submitting to Scripture. And slowly but surely, when we become like this, you really are, you have the right theology and you know the Word of God, but you're not a growing person.
And you go to church and you wonder, what is the thing? Then you come to church and say, I think the church did not meet my needs. Oh no, you hardly obey the Bible. You've lost spirituality. When you start to choose and react as though it's a product in a shop, then you know you've lost spirituality. Many of us have even lost the conviction because we agree, we believe, we don't practice. And so we don't have a conviction. We're not driven by the Word of God. We're driven by how we feel. And that is a dangerous place to be. Philippians 3, 12, 13. Not that I have already obtained all this. That at some point we obtained the right theology, obtained the Word of God. Or I've already arrived at my goal. That yeah, we got saved, we figured these things how it works. But I press on to take hold of that of for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. You see, Christ took hold of you, but that was not the end of the journey. Some people think getting baptized is the end of the journey. That's the beginning. That's the beginning. You know, if you read the Bible, it says that if we continue confessing our sins, we're going to change and keep growing. So if you have stopped being taken hold of by Jesus, it simply means that you've stopped practicing what the Bible says. How often are you making decisions based on what you feel rather than what the Bible says? How often are you doing that? Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Is it possible that you've arrived? Some of us talk well too much about the 90s. Others talk too much about the 70s. Others talk too much about the 2000s. Others talk too much about the 60s. I don't know how many talk about the 50s. And how many talk about the 40s. And how many talk about the 30s. That's my father's age now. We're playing over there. That is a different ballgame. 1934. That's when he was born. And that some of us have totally forgotten this idea, or rather the understanding that just great theology is not the end of it. The reason you're stuck in your conviction is you will not practice. So you talk too much about history and you forget that God is talking to you right now. Right here, He's trying to get you to move in your current circumstance. That's what's going on. And yet, because of the pride of I know and not practicing, you don't experience God. It's a pride of I know. You know, one of the hardest things I've done as a minister is talking to people that know. They know. You open a scripture. Oh, yeah, I've read that scripture. It says this, this. Before you even read it, they're already saying in their head, I know what it says, blah, blah, blah. By the start you're talking, they've switched on. They're moving on to the spring of the evening. There's a problem here, and we've got to get it right. Our convictions are suffering because we're not practicing. What's the point of knowing having medicine that will heal you but not take it? What's the point? Why do you go to a doctor, get the medicine, but never use it? That is what we're doing sometimes as a church. We read the Bible, we hear it, but we don't practice it. Knowing the Bible is one thing. Knowing the author is another. Church, let's talk about this for a moment. I think many of us know the Bible. I will give that to you today. You know the Bible inside out. Do you know God, though? That is the question. It's not the fact that you know about X, Y, Z. Do you know God? My earlier story of how we talked about my father and my oldest brother thinking that my dad was very strict and my sister thinking my dad was very loving and me feeling like I was left to my own devices. I mean, if you're going to raise 12 kids, you can have different experiences to that. That story simply says to me that we had a different knowledge of God, but of our parents, but depending on how we interfaced with him. He was the same man, it's just how we interfaced with the person. Now, let me bring that story to our Father in heaven. You see, God is real. Okay, I got three believers. God is real. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Now, let's keep talking about if God is real, why is it that we experience life like God is not there? So if you really believe that God is real and that there are people that need to hear about Him and they need to know the Word of God, then you will turn around and tell God a different way. But let's talk about how you're handling your life today. The reason you're so defeated is because you know more about the Bible than you know about God. When is the last time you sat down and were contemplative of God? Not in a hurry to leave. Not in a hurry, but just contemplative. You sat down quietly and contemplated the power of the Almighty God. That no matter what situation you're getting into, God was going to take you out. And that you left that place feeling, not knowing which way was going to do it, but just trusting was going to do that. And yet I think that as disciples, we're letting stress to get at us. We're letting life beat us down. So we come here for an uplift, or we don't practice the Bible on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, on Thursday, on Friday. What is that? That is spirituality. Spirituality is not knowing the right theology. Spirituality is practicing knowing God. You don't know God by just knowing the subject. You know God by practicing. Then you begin to experience God in a very different angle. Then you can speak for yourself, not from just the knowledge of the Bible, but this is God for me. That is conviction. So sometimes I'm surprised by how we respond. We respond funny about music. Sometimes we don't want to sing certain songs because it's not the music we like. I say, you have no conviction about God. Sometimes we respond to certain things. I don't want to come to it because doesn't help me. It's become something that serves you. You don't serve God. You don't know God at all. I want to challenge you on this one. It's not about knowing the Bible. It's knowing the author. Know God. That's a different story. It's very different when you know the author than just the words he says. This is not music. You can know the songs of music, but can you tell why the musician wrote that song? What was he going through? Why was that? Part of understanding gospel properly is understanding what is the heart of God in this message. What is he driving me? What is he calling me to? That's important. Looking back has a stagnation effect. The story is told here in Luke 9, quoting Genesis. Jesus replied, let me read Luke 9 first. Jesus replied, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. If he had been calling them to come to the party and they were saying, oh, I have to go this and go do that, he says, if you look back, you're not good for the service. And then he talks about here in Luke 17, 30, 32, 33. Remember Lot's wife? It's quoting Genesis here. Whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. Whoever loses their life will preserve it. So, two things. One is that if you're going to till the land, you got to be focused on making sure the land is turning around. Not looking back. You're going to make mistakes there. But Lot's wife is an example of not someone that is trying to, you know, the Bible tells us that she looked back. When they were living Sodom and Gomorrah, one thing they were supposed to do is don't look back. When she looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt, stagnation. If you look back, what happens is that you are not really moving forward. You're always tempted with how it looked back there. It begins to look like, you know, maybe there was something back there. Some of us have come to Jesus, but we're still looking back. Some of us are changing, but we're still looking back to yesterday. Some of us are trying to be, I've gotten married, but we're still looking back to how it used to look like when we were single. Some of us have gotten children, we're still looking back to when we didn't have children. And some of us are single, we're still looking back to the world. And we look back to so many things, not look forward to Jesus. If you look at this story properly, he says, whoever tries to keep their life will lose it. The principle of emptying yourself is losing yourself into Christ. And then it says, and whoever loses their life will persevere in it. I want to make something clear to us today. I hope you're not looking back in your life. Church, if we're going to grow, we're going to have to grow in this time. Not the 90s, not the whatever, we're going to grow in this time. That means you need to pay attention to what God is saying to you today. Does that make sense? Looking back has a stagnation effect. Maybe you're spending too much time looking back. Some of us have not forgiven. You're stagnated by lack of forgiveness. You're not going to go anywhere. Why? Because you look back so much. Some of us have a story to tell about why we are the way we are today. I don't want to belittle that story, but I got to tell you something. You cannot live your life looking back. Let us not look back in anger, nor forward in fear, but around in awareness. If you can ask yourself today, what is God doing in your life today? Today. Too many people are either worried about the future or regret about their past. What is God doing today, right now? You want to regret about about how you've wasted the years? God can change your life in a second. God can change your life in a second. I remember searching for God and thinking about God. I was 16 when I started thinking about God. I found God at 21 years old. So what would you say? From the age of 16, God was walking, directing me towards his kingdom. At 21, when I saw it, I knew this is what I was looking for when I was 16. I had lost my innocence at 16. I was looking for God. See, God was walking. He brought me to Scripture at 16. What that did is started developing conviction because I was reading and repenting and putting it into practice. So I became aware of what God was doing. And life was a bliss. But as I kept going, I would put that in cruise control and I would go on this plateau. And I'll start again and again and be aware of what is God doing today. So I ask you today, is it possible that you're so much afraid of the future that you're not doing anything today? You're so afraid of the future, you're not trusting God today, so you're not living your scriptures out. Or you look back with a lot of anxiety and regret. God will use you today if you obey the Bible today. Not yesterday, not tomorrow, today. Learn from Jesus. The Bible says, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Have you ever just gotten tired of life? One problem after one problem is coming, issue after issue. You can get weary. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now, you want to turn that situation around, come to Jesus, humble yourself, learn from him. Take my yoke. For I am gentle and humble in heart. Then it says, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So two things that need to be done here. You have to take on the yoke. You've got to say, you know what? I am emptying myself. Jesus, help me. Show me how to live my life. Guide me by your word so that I may practice my life based on your word. And then he says what? For I am gentle and humble. That's a difficult thing for most people to do. How do you treat people who are trying to run you over? They're trying to make you feel like a weak guy. How do you treat them? Are you gentle and humble with them? In the heart? It's not about outside, it's in the heart. In the heart, what goes on in the heart? That is what God is interested in. We work hard to take care of the outside, and we should, but what about the heart? He says, you learn from me, I want to help your heart to turn around. You see, if God is going to make any change in your life, it starts with your heart. It's how you feel. It's how you think. It's your conviction, your attitude. Are you surrendered to God at all? Or do you fight God left, right, and center? Have you given your life to God in the way that says, I will use you? Whether it's talking to a new person, whether it's just talking to a brother, calling someone. Have you surrendered to that, or do you have excuses as to why you will not do what God is saying to you? And the Bible says, and you will find rest for your soul. We want rest for our life right here. We want to settle. No, rest for your soul. While on earth, we keep moving. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Here's what I think. I think that if you tell me just stuff, you forget. And I think that I come here and I talk about the message of God, I think we forget that very quickly. Because I talk about God a lot when we come here. We talk about God. But because you're just telling, you may forget that. Teach me and I'll remember. Yeah, sometimes what happens is that we make the effort of, okay, have memory scriptures and you're remembering that, and that's important. You got to do that. But I think involve me and I'll learn. I think what Jesus is saying here is come to me and get involved. Don't come to me and just be taught. Don't just come to me and be told. Come to me and get involved. So if I was going to the Mercedes-Benz Stadium after this to watch a game, am I involved or am I watching? What if I was going to the Mercedes Stadium and I was going to change to cleats, you know, get ready to run, get Devonta, say, let's go and teach me some game here. Maybe I'm going to do something. How different is that? I'm involved, right? By the time I leave, I may know how a running back operates in that game. Church, is it possible that you're coming to church and you're not involved? You're not involved in prayer. You're not involved in script. You're not involved in telling anyone about Jesus. You're not involved in loving people, loving the poor. You're not involved in confessing sins and overcoming them. You're not involved in just saying, you know what? I want to be a part of the solution. Is it possible all you do is you complain? You're not involved. You're the guy that has a cheap seat in the stands of Mercedes-Benz upstairs telling the player what to do. You're not in there running and being hit. You're just cheaply pointing fingers. Oh, da, 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 da. It's time to get off your cheap seats. Get involved. Change into some cleats and get out there. Let's do what happens. Does that make sense? Change doesn't happen if you're not involved. So how do you involve yourself in Scripture? I like to say you need to pray, contemplate, and then decide on what you're going to do with that. I had a long conversation with Perry Pax, who was just talking to me the other day. This happens from time to time. He called me, and this conversation, he told me at the end, an hour, 20 minutes. I thought we had been talking 30 minutes. So after he hung up, he says, an hour, 20 minutes, I looked at my phone. That was an hour, 20 minutes of conversation. And he was talking about how God has been just trying to show him things in his heart and things that he just has to change. And he started praying and changing. And I said, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. And he had gone past just hearing it, but now acting on what God was asking him to do. But the story began by him first of all just saying, I'm not going to do that. Then he submitted and God transforming that. You see, the problem is not that we struggle. That's okay. It's part of it. It's how we finish. How we finish. It's not how we begin. It's how we finish. We've got to finish strong. God bless you.